Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are excited that you tuned in. Today's message is brought to you by our very own Bree Davis. So from wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by today's message.
It's important to us as a church that we actually vision you into why we have small groups. What is the point of us having these groups? And that is because we believe in the importance of community. Community is not only important to the heart of us as a church, but it is important to the heart of our God. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about the importance of community and how it's important not just for us as a church, but for you and your personal life to have community. All right? Let's pray this morning before we jump in. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord God, for your presence in this place. We feel you. We know you are here. God, we thank you that, as we sang earlier, you are a healer of everything in our life that's out of whack. And so, God, this morning, I'm asking you to open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, to hear whatever it is that you want to say to us. What is it that you want to say? God, we have our ears leaned in to hear from you. Because we know when you speak to us, God, that things line up in our lives. Healing takes place in our lives. And I believe that that's exactly what you want to do today. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so today I want to talk to you about community. The topic, the message title is How Community Changed My Life. How community changed my life. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. I'm going to share some other people's testimonies as well. But today we're going to talk about how community changed my life and how it can change our lives if we allow it the space that it needs. Before we go into why community, let's talk about what is community. Okay, so the dictionary definition of community is a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. Okay, that's what community is. You may have community in many different areas of your life. It's basically a feeling of connectedness with somebody else because you have something in common. Okay, so that's something that you can have at your job. Regardless if you like the lady in the cubicle next to you, you guys have an organizational goal that you're trying to reach. And so you can find community in your workplace. You can find community in your family. Maybe the only thing you have in common with your family is that you're all from the same bloodline. Your personalities are different. Your behavior is different, whatever the case may be. But that is a community that you are a part of. For me, my community started back in Springfield, Illinois. This is my hometown. Springfield, Illinois, it is a very small town where basically everybody knows everybody. To this day, if I'm riding in the car with my dad and he goes somewhere and he waves at almost every person he knows. And I don't know if that, like, is he just a nice person or does he literally know everybody in the town? That's what I think. Like, he may know everybody in the town. And so Springfield, Illinois, and if you are from Illinois, you know that the S is silent. Thank you. Okay. There's no such place as Illinois. Okay. Let me just let everyone know there's no such state as Illinois. It's Illinois. So Springfield, Illinois, it's where I was born and raised. It's where I first was introduced to community. Now, obviously, I was introduced to my family community, my parents, my brother, aunts, uncles, cousins. A lot of them still live in Springfield. I was introduced to my church family, which was a church that we went to from when I was in first grade all the way until I left Springfield. But one place, one community that really holds a near and dear place in my heart was my group of friends. Now, we all met in like the second, third grade, and we were friends all the way through high school. I have a picture that I want to show you, actually, of me and my friends. This is us in the eighth grade looking fly. Look at us. We're so cool. My friend has a jersey on. I mean, yes. So that's me in the pink right there. If you just zoom in, come on with the bangs. Come on with them bangs. I'm pretty sure they were cut to the side like that, just so y'all know. I did not swoop them. They was like that, okay? But this is my group of friends that we grew up in Springfield together, me, Shannon, Natalie, Alicia, and Carmen, and we were all attached at the hip. When I think back to my childhood friendships, I think of so many different stories that are hilarious. Like, in the fourth grade, I had my first boyfriend, and it was under 24 hours that we dated. Because, well, he wrote me a love letter on the bus, and it was too deep. Like, we weren't there yet in our relationship. So I went to my community, and I asked my cousin, will you go break up with him for me? Man, community, we all need it. She went the next day and broke up with him for me. So I didn't even have nothing, like no blood on my hands. You see what I'm saying? I didn't have anything to worry about it. That was my first boyfriend, and my next one was when I was 28 years old. So that, as you can see, I didn't do relationships well with men. Another thing is, me and my friends, we had a singing group, okay? It was a gospel girl singing group. Because we, you know, grew up in church, so secular music was a devil. And so we only sang gospel songs, and we did it on a hill at our school, and it was for all who wanted to, you know, hear what thus saith the Lord. And I'm pretty sure it was only the five of us up there. I'm pretty sure we had no one in the audience, but I'm telling you, we were singing, okay? They was missing out on what God was saying. So when I think back to those childhood memories, when I think back to my childhood friendships, there was this openness that we had as kids, right? Like, you could go up to somebody on the swing set and say, you want to be my friend? They say, yeah, and y'all was besties immediately. Like, you didn't need no resume. You didn't even need to know their name. Y'all was besties. I think that when we look back at that, we can see the openness that we had and that desire that we had for community that we were naturally born with. We were naturally born with that. If you look back at some of your childhood friendships, you can see a glimpse of unconditional love, one of the first glimpses of unconditional love in your life. Think about it. Y'all fought, y'all got mad at each other, and next day, what was you? Friends again. Y'all was friends all over again. You didn't know about cutting people off and like, I ain't gonna talk to her no more. You didn't know all that. You was friends immediately after that. But when we grow up, when we become adults, we start building these walls around ourselves, where community is really not that important anymore. Friendship is really not that important anymore because now I'm grown and I don't need anybody. But that's not true at all. God built us to need community. You can say all that you want, that you're fine all by yourself, but I promise you that is not the truth. And how do I know that? It's because we were all built with the need for community because we were all built in the image of God. Now, track with me here, okay? We're going to go just a little bit deep to talk about why community. Because when I found out that this was something that I was supposed to teach on this week, I didn't want it to be some cookie-cutter message. Like, we're starting belong groups next week, so this is why you should be in B groups, A, B, C. I want you to really understand the depth of community and why it's so important in our lives. It's because community started long before you were ever on this earth. Community started actually long before any human was on this earth. We all need community because we were made in the image of God. And if you think about it, our God is a community. Let me explain. God is one God, right? But he has three persons. He's one God, but he's also three persons. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? Those three make up a community that makes up our God. So God showed us from the beginning of time the framework for relationship, why we need relationship and why we need community. If our God, who is all-powerful and almighty and all-knowing, sits on the throne of heaven, if he is in community, why do we think that we don't have to be in community? We all need community because it's innately built inside of us. We serve a relational God. Everything that God does, he does through relationship. Everything that God does, he does through relationship. He asks us to be in relationship with him. We serve a relational God. Now, why is it so important for us that our God is a relational God? Why is it so important that our God is in community? Because the Bible tells us that God is love, right? And we believe that. We believe that if you use the word God or you use the love, they're exchangeable. You can put either one in a sentence, and it means the same thing because God is love. It's not that God has a character trait of love. He is love. He cannot act outside of love. That's God, okay? So for love to be real, love has to be other-centered. It has to be focused on the other person, not you. Now, here's the thing. I know that we have manipulated and twisted the word love so much that we really do think it's about us. But love is about sacrificial commitment for the good of the other person. That's what real love is. Real love is not, oh, do I feel it? It's, I'm going to commit to this person regardless. That's what love is. When we look in Corinthians, when they talk about what love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep any things wrong. Like, they don't hold on to things that you've done wrong to them. That's real love. Love goes through the ups and downs with you and stays. That's real love, and that's who our God is. That's why we are so attracted to him. That's why we're so attracted to the love of God, is because it endures all. It goes through the ups and the downs with us, okay? So God is love. Love is others-centered. How can God say that he is love if he's ever been alone? If God has ever been alone, he could never say that he was love. He could assume he was love. Like, maybe if other people come around, I can show them love. But he would have to say that he's love from experience. God, before he ever created Adam, before he ever created man, God was already exchanging love within the Trinity. He was already exchanging relationship within the Trinity. And this is why, I know, this is like, okay, that's a big idea that you're saying here. But this is important for us to know. Community doesn't start with us. It starts with our God. Our God is showing us how important community is, so much so that he is in community to show us how important it is. So this is not no TC, like, y'all, we had these B groups and we did all this work to start these B groups and we just want you to be in them because that's fun for us to say, oh, this many people was in B groups. That is fun. Okay. But that's not the motivation. The motivation is that we all need community. And some of us don't know how to find community on our own, and that's okay, because as a church, we have built resources so that we can all get in community ourselves. We have no excuse to not have community because we have small groups. Small groups are providing a place for you to get in community and get what God wants you to get through it. Now, love is important because we don't get to experience love outside of community. How we experience love is from other people sharing love with us. So oftentimes we feel unloved, and a lot of that comes from the fact that we are alone. We feel like we are unloved, but that's because we really haven't taken the steps to get in community and be loved on and allow people to open up and see ourselves and love on us as we are. Community is that important. So today I just want to give you three points. Three little points about why community is so important, okay? The first thing is, community is a place to be. It's a place to be. And when I say be, I mean be yourself, okay? So one thing that we have learned as a society is how to be somebody else. Like, we can get on Instagram and figure out, oh, that's how I should wear my makeup. Okay, let me do that. Oh, okay, that's the outfit I should wear. Oh, let me do that. That career, maybe I'll try that career. Oftentimes, we look towards other people or other things that seem successful, and we decide, you know what, I'm going to be that instead of me. But God is saying today, community is a place where you can be yourself, where you can come, flaws and all, and be who you are. Everybody loves the concept of come as you are, but most of us are actually afraid of it. We love when people say you can come as you are, but if we're extended that opportunity, do we actually take it? Because oftentimes we're afraid that if I come as I am, will they still like me? Like, if I come with my funky attitude, will they still like me? In community, you get to come as you are because you're not going to stay there. Community is the place where you come as you are. You come open, ready to receive whatever it is that God has for you, because you know that just because you come that way doesn't mean you're going to stay that way. Community is a place for us to take off the mask, because here's one thing that we do. If we don't feel like we are enough in and of ourselves, if we don't feel like we're enough, what we will do is we will either isolate, like get away from everybody, retreat from relationships, or we put on masks. And we use whatever is around us to put on a mask, right? So maybe for you, that's being a hard worker at your job. You know there's things you need to deal with in your life, but one thing that people love about you is how much of a hard worker you are. Maybe another thing for you is religion. Maybe religion is the mask that you put on. You know there's things you need to deal with in your life. You haven't really addressed that with anybody, but if you come with a prophecy enough, everybody's going to love you. If you come with a word from God every time you're around, everybody's going to love you. The problem with putting on masks is that when people say they love us, we know that they're not talking about us. They're talking about our mask. When people say, I love you, and I'm glad you're around, we know because we put on masks that really, they're not talking about us. They're talking about the mask that we have presented to them. And so community is a place for us to take off the mask and be who we are and be accepted as we are. Community, when we bring our flaws to community, what we do is we provide a space for grace. You don't need grace if you don't have flaws. What do you need grace for? Grace is to fill in the gaps that you have in your life. If you don't have any gaps in your life, then you don't need grace. You don't get to experience the love and grace of people and of God if you don't open up and show the places where you need it. You are stuck on your own to try to find grace on your own, but grace is something that is given to you. And so that's why we must come open and ready for whatever it is God wants to do. But we have to open ourselves up. And listen, I know this is not like, I kind of had to tell this to myself too. This is not one of those hoop and holler messages, y'all. I'm sorry. I may make you laugh a couple of times, but that's it. The truth of the matter is, this is convicting. The Holy Spirit is trying to convict us of how important community is in our life. And you only get all the benefits of community if you are transparent. Because this is the truth. You are as sick as your secrets. Whatever secrets you have in your life, whatever things you are hiding from the people around you, you are as sick as your secrets. That is why God is asking us to come into community and show where we are at. There's nothing wrong with that because God knows how to handle it. And guess what? He's created other people in your life that know how to handle it as well. But if you don't ever open up and allow yourself to trust somebody else with you, you never get to experience that love and that grace. In Hebrews 10 and 25, it says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So in the scripture, it's saying, don't neglect meeting together. You guys should always come together because you encourage each other when you come together, right? Sunday mornings is awesome, okay? We come here on Sundays, but Sunday mornings is more like a family reunion. How many of y'all have been to a family reunion before? All right, so we know what a family reunion is. It's awesome. Good food. All the kids are there. You're going to have a shirt with a tree on it that says the Williams family. I mean, that's like part of the starter pack. Like everybody gets a tree shirt at a family reunion, right? A family reunion is awesome. It's beautiful. We get to bring different people and different personalities together as family, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you actually have relationship with the people there. You're all a part of the same family. I mean, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but you can come in and out of this place and still not gain relationship that is involved in the details of your life. Real relationships happen Monday through Saturday, on the good days and the bad days, on the days where you don't want to talk to people and the days you're excited to be around everybody. That's where real relationship is built, not the family reunion, because the family reunion, I mean, you know some people at the family reunion, but most of the people are strangers. You're like, whose baby is that? Who he married to? The family reunion brings a whole bunch of people together, but that doesn't mean you're going to gain relationship there. I'll never forget one time. This is such a sidebar. I'll never forget one time my cousin and I, we went to high school together, and she had kissed this boy. And we were like, "Ooh, you kissed this boy," you know, whatever, like being all crazy about it and stuff or whatever. Well, anyways, a couple months later, we was at the family reunion, and y'all, he was there. So we were like, is he our cousin? We could not tell if this man was family or he came with some family. We didn't know who he was. And honestly, I tell you that story with no resolve because I do not know if we ever figured out if he was our cousin or not. I hope he wasn't, but we really don't know. So coming to a family reunion is great. I mean, you might find out you kissed your cousin there. But it doesn't mean that you are actually building relationship. And relationship is involved in the details of your life, not the polished life, not the how you doing today, I'm good life, right? You need people that are so involved in your life. When you say, when they say, how you doing today? You say, good. They can say, no, you're not. You lying, because all your kids look scared over here. You done cussed at them this morning, didn't you? You need somebody in your life that knows you so well, they can tell when something's wrong. And they can come and celebrate when something's good. Sometimes we put up so many walls around ourselves. Not only do we not have people to be with us during the hard times, but we don't have people to celebrate with us during the good times. Because we built so many walls around ourselves. So no one can share with you in your successes and your victories, nor your failures. But community, real community, knows you. And the only way that someone loves you well is if they know you well. Why does God love us so well? Why does he love us so deeply and so intimately? Because he knows us that much. He said he knows our thoughts afar off. That's how good God knows us. He said he knows the number of hairs on our head. That's how much God knows us. I wonder sometimes, does he know how many hairs are on my bathroom floor? Because, you know, when I comb, I'm asking him to keep some of the, anyways. But God knows us so well, and because he knows us, he can love us. Who loves you well because they know you well? Or are the people that are in your life, even the ones that you consider closest to you, they don't really even know you. So when they say, I love you, you can barely receive that because you know you haven't shared all of who you are with them. This is not just like a B group message. This is like a, does your wife know you? Does your husband know you? Does your bestie really know you? Because people can't love us well if they don't know us well. And one of my favorite books, The Shack, a quote from that is, love is the skin of knowing. That means I can only love you as much as I know you. My love for you doesn't do anything but cover up how much I know you. A lot of us want to be loved well, but we don't want the risk of being known well. We want somebody to love us as we are, but we don't share ourselves with anybody. Community is where we share ourselves with the people around us to give them the space to love us well. And yes, that comes with some risk. That comes with some risk because the truth is we have no idea if people are going to love us well or not. We don't know. But it's a risk worth taking because we do not get to experience the depth of grace and love in our lives until we open ourselves up to be known by other people. So community is a place to be. Not only is community a place to be, community is a place to become. Okay? So what I love about community is that just because you come this way is not how you're going to stay, right? Community is a place where you can come as you are, but you're not going to stay that way. Community is people being around you and encouraging you to move forward in living a Christ-centered life. So you may have friends that you can be around. You may have friends that you can be transparent and tell them all your dirty secrets, but if those same friends are not saying, okay, now how are we going to work on this? Okay, so what is our next step now? That is not a godly community. You need a community that accepts you and loves you as you are, but will not let you stay that way. They will challenge you and they will encourage you to grow in your walk with Christ. That is community. It says in James 5 and 16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. How are we healed? by confessing our sins to one another, by praying for one another. When we come to God and we say, hey, God, I messed up, we come to God for forgiveness. God is telling us in this scripture, you go to community for healing. You go to community for healing. Could it be that there are some things in your life that are not healed in the manner in which you want them to be because you have not opened yourself up to community? Could it be that there are some things that God is trying to do in your life, but you haven't allowed anybody into your ear to tell you the truth about yourself? Are the people that are closest to you, do they feel comfortable telling you the truth? Or are they afraid of telling you that because they don't know if you're going to snap off or not? They don't know if you're going to cut them off or not. We all need people in our lives that can sit us down and say, hey, you have to change that. Because I know who you are, who you said you were, your history and all those things. But as your friend, I cannot allow you to stay there. As your friend and as your community, I have to walk out with you healing in your life. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 53 that we are healed by the stripes that Jesus took on the cross, right? We are healed. That healing lives inside of us. What community does is community helps to mature us into that healing. Like everything that we need for life and godliness is already on the inside of us. But community comes and helps to shave off the things that we no longer need in our lives. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. We all need some iron in our lives. Who's the iron in your life? Who are the people that come to you and say, hey, that ain't like God. We need to work on that. The people that not just come and point out things, but will walk out things with you. They don't just come and tell you what's wrong. They say, hey, let's walk this out together. That is real community. We need somebody that can see stuff in us that we just can't even see in ourselves. Sometimes we're not even self-aware enough to know there's certain things that we need to work on. But God will send people to come and tell us this needs to be worked on because we need to fully reach the calling that God has placed on our lives. But sometimes we got to shave some things off. Sometimes we got to let go of some things. And community comes in to help make that happen. Just the other day, my husband told me something about myself. And he told me I was uptight. And he was like, you need to relax. And what'd that do? Make me uptight? I was like, you making me uptight? It's not me. But it took me a second. I'm not kidding when I say that. And by a second, I mean probably a day. It's just the truth. But I had to think about that thing. I really had to think about that. Like, am I uptight? Like, is this something I need to work on? Or is he seeing stuff, you know? I had to think about that thing because I had to have people in my life that can tell me the truth about myself. Stuff that I may not know about myself, and I have to be open to receiving that correction that they bring into our lives. It's not because we don't love each other. It's because we love each other. That's why I have to share with you the things that I need to share with you because I know this is not what God has fully called you to. This is not the calling that God has on your life. And so that's what community does. Are you open enough for the people around you to tell you the truth about yourself? Good, bad, and ugly. I mean, like, they can come to you and give you a compliment, and they can come to you and give you some criticism. Are you open to that? Because that is how we heal. That is how we mature into our healing. Somebody in our life has to have the shut up and sit down card. Somebody. Oh, my gosh, there's nothing worse than somebody that you can't ever tell nothing to. Y'all know that. You know. I got some people in my family like that. I mean, you try to tell them something, and they automatically get offended. It's like, okay, calm down. Never mind. I didn't mean that at all. Like, What's the name is who I meant to say that to. We don't like those people, but sometimes we are those people. Sometimes we are those people that people actually want to give us something that can help us, but they're afraid to because they have no idea how we're going to react to it. But community is a safe place for us to become. We have to know that if you are still alive, there is something that God is still trying to heal in you. It doesn't matter how old you get, how much experience you have in God. There is something that God is trying to heal in you still. And that comes through community. Who have you opened yourself up to enough that they feel safe to come to you and say, hey, we got to work on that. We got to walk this thing out together. That's what true community is. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we have become a new person. When we belong to Christ, we become a new person and old things have passed away. Now, obviously, we know that's not a magic trick. We know the day we get saved, that don't mean the next day we're going to stop cussing, you know, or acting a fool or whatever. We know that there's a progression to this, but there's a maturity that comes along with staying consistent. And sometimes we need a workout buddy. You know the workout buddy. The one that calls you when you do not want to go work out. Like, y'all both committed to work out for however long. And then one day you're like, you know, I don't think I really want to work out. And they call you. They're like, hey, hello, you ready to go to the gym? Oh, not today. I had a long day at work. I don't really want to go anymore. We committed to this. We promised that we would do this together. And if you don't come, I have to go to the gym by myself. And I don't like that. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you to the gym, I guess. My friend did that. We was training for a 5K. Ooh, she got on my nerves. She wanted to go every other day. I was like, we do not have to do this, but twice a week. You're trying to go every day. But I needed it. I needed that friend in my life to come and say, hey, when you don't feel like it, I do. And sometimes when I don't feel like it, you do. And we can help encourage each other to keep moving forward. If you think about this, if you think about getting hurt, let's say you out cartwheeling with the kids and you break a leg, okay? You break a leg. That's how you break a leg, just so everyone knows. You break a leg and you're in recovery. You go to the doctor and they say, hey, you need some time to recover. When you go home, you need somebody there. You can't even hardly get yourself up and go to the potty. You need somebody to come and pick you up out of your bed of affliction and go put you on the potty so that you can use it, right? That's just simple. There's other things they help you with too. I just like that example. What I'm saying is, even spiritually, we need some people to help us in the broken areas of our life. We need somebody that's going to be strong when we are weak so they can come pick us up out of our bed and take us to our next destination. I don't know how many times I have ridden on the back of my friends when I felt weak and they were strong. How many times have I felt like I cannot move another day forward and they come and pick me up spiritually out of the space that I am in to take me to my next destination? We can't do that without community. You need somebody in your life. Regardless if you feel like you don't, regardless if you tried it and it didn't work for you, it doesn't matter. You need community. God created you to need community. You cannot reverse that DNA. You cannot take that back. That is all through you. That is the way that God created you. So community is not just a place for us to be. Community is a place for us to become, because community helps remind us of who we are in God. Community brings us back to God, brings us back to what the Word says about us. That's true community. True, healthy, and safe community are the people who will say, hey, this is what God says about you. And remind you, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're so deep in our stuff that we forget what God said about us. Community comes back to remind you of the thing that you originally committed to. That's what community does. Now, community is not only the place for us to be and become, but community is a place for us to believe. Community is a place for us to believe in God again. I said it earlier that God is love. Those words are interchangeable. God, love, it's the same thing, because God cannot act outside of love, right? When we share love with the people in our life, what we are doing is we are sharing God with them. The Bible tells us in John 13 and 35, Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know what that means? When people see us love each other well, they see God. Like he said, if you love each other well, they'll know you're my disciples. When people see us love each other well, it goes back to them seeing God. Because we know how humans are. We know how we are. And we don't love well. We know that when we get mad enough, we can cut somebody off. We know if we get mad enough, we will stop talking to somebody, act like they never existed in our life, close our eyes every time they walk by, they invisible. We know that we have a hard time forgiving people and that we can lean into bitterness and hatred pretty quickly. We know us as humans. So when we love each other well, when we love each other unconditionally, everyone knows that's supernatural. Everyone knows that that is a supernatural love that comes from God. Now, not only is it that people see it and they know that it's God, but we see it and we know it's God. When we are loved well by people in our community, it makes us grateful to God. It makes us go back to the originator of love, because what we know is we are sharing him with one another. And what it does is when someone loves me well in my community, it makes me thank God for them. Because love that we share together in the community is a gift from God. It is God. And so I think about myself, and I think about how I've seen God in my life. And a lot of it has been through the people that he sent to me. The people that I've actually, even though very tough, have opened myself up to and allowed into the details of my life, and they have cared for me well. I think about Pastor Barbara Littlejohn, who, when I was a single girl making pennies at this church, that's what I was making, everyone, pennies. I was making pennies at this church. She allowed me to live at her home. What was supposed to be just a couple of months, we all know how that goes, ended up being about a year that I was living there. But she opened up her home and allowed me to stay with her. That's where I've seen God in my life. Where I've seen God in my life is through Scott and Tammy McQuarters, people that I met here at this church who went during my first year of marriage when it almost ended in a double homicide because we almost killed each other. Scott and Tammy were people that we could go to and we could be honest with. We didn't have to pretend like everything was all hunky-dory. Everybody else has these great first years of marriage. Ours was horrible. And we could tell Scott and Tammy that. We could tell them that we needed help and we could get wisdom from them. That is where I've seen God in my life. Where I have seen God in my life is in my friend Arian, my 5K partner, that the other day I went to the gym and I said, I've had a long day at work and I really don't feel like talking, just so you know. And she gave me time to get myself together before she started talking to me at the gym. She wasn't offended by that. She just allowed me to be where I was at that day until I was ready to open up. That's why I've seen God in my life. I've seen God in my life through my friend Tiffany, who lives in Chicago, and we talk probably every 6 months, but every time we talk about the details of our life. We don't come in with these false pretenses and these masks and act like everything is fine. We talk about where we really are in life every single time. And when her dad died a couple years ago, I went to Chicago to be with her, and that girl ended up ministering to me. That's where I've seen God in my life. You've seen God in your life and the people around you too. What I'm saying is, if you have not entered into community, maybe God is trying to show you himself through the people around you. But it requires you to open up to that avenue, to open up to community. I think about community and where I've seen God, and think about my first small group that I was in. In 2007, I moved to Tulsa knowing no one, and I came to this church where there was a whole bunch of people, and I didn't know if I was going to make friends with anybody here, but I joined, went with one of my friends to a small group meeting and ended up joining that small group and being in it for a couple years after that, and we grew and loved and engaged in life together. This is a picture of my small group. 2009, when we took this picture, we were in Angela's group here at the church, and we laughed together, and we laughed until we cried together, and we traveled together, and we made up a name for our group called the GGs, which is Guys Girls. We loved one another, and we shared a very special season of our lives together. That's where I've seen God, though. Each one of those girls in that picture, it wasn't just a girl in the picture. It was one way that I got to experience the love of God in my life. Today I'm asking you, do you need to open up to community? Do you need to open up to be seen and be known and be told the truth about yourself so that you can become who God has called you to be? Do you need to get into community? Life-giving community. Community that's going to encourage you to keep moving forward and living a Christ-centered life. Because like it or not, whether you think you do or you don't, you need it. To be your best you, you need community. Can you live without community? Absolutely. Can you live abundantly without community? Nope. You need community in your life. And so we offer one way that you can get in community through small groups. There's many different ways that you can get in community. The point is, you need someone around you that's going to encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. And let me say this to you. Community starts at home. Community starts with the people that you live with. Like, if you are married, community starts there first. Your kids, are your kids actually comfortable around you? Are they afraid of you? Like, you want community with your kids. Community starts at home, and it trickles out into other areas of our life. And there's a couple of different people that I want to share their experience through B groups and how important B groups were to them. Community, I said, is a place to be, and Jeffrey Metcalf found that in his small group. Jeffrey said that it was not only a place that he can go and talk to other guys, but it was a place that he can actually trust other people with his information, with his issues, with his flaws and imperfections. It was a place where he could be himself. Community for Tony Hill was a place to become. He said that when he went to his B group, he was able to go and hear from other different godly men, give him wisdom. And what happened was he started to make other decisions in his life to be more of a godly man because of those men around him. He may have never made those choices had those men not been in his life, but because they were there to help iron sharpen iron, he made decisions in his life to become a more godly man because of that group. And I love this testimony. Stephanie found community to be a place to believe in God. Because Stephanie actually went to try out B groups just because Pastor Mike said we all should. She said she went to just try them out to see if she was going to like it or not. And what ended up happening is Stephanie went to her belong group as an unbeliever. But that's no longer her story. Stephanie, hallelujah. Stephanie found relationship with God because of her belong group. She ended up receiving salvation, getting baptized, and she says she's made some lifelong friends in that small group. What she's saying is because she was loved so well there, she could trust in God's love. Because the people around her loved her so well, she could trust that God could love her even better than that. And she said in her testimony, I love this, she said, God no longer was a concept anymore. He was real. He was real because the people around her loved her so well. So I want to challenge you. If you have not found community in your life, this is the time. Here's the place. You can get in community. You can get in one of the small groups that we are opening up next week. And all I'm saying is try it. Just try it for 1 year. Challenge you to try it for 1 year and see what happens to you. See if this is a place where you can be, become, and believe in your life. Because that's what community is set up to be. I want to end with this scripture in Acts 2:46-47. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were saved. When we look back at this church in Acts, they came together in big groups like this. They had family reunions, but then they met in homes and shared food and life together. And because of that, other people who were not believers, decided to join in with them because everybody is attracted to real love. Everybody's attracted to it because everybody needs it. And that is what we find in community. This afternoon, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with those of you that maybe this is the first time you heard the importance of community. Maybe you've been hurt before in community and you really don't want to try it again, but you're thinking about maybe I should try it, maybe I shouldn't. This morning, I want to pray with you because my goal with this message is that you will realize that this is not something that TC says is important. This is something that God says is important for your life, for the betterment of your life. You don't get everything out of Transformation Church without community, but you also don't get everything out of God without community. You need community in your lives. So let's pray this afternoon. Lord, I am so grateful for your presence in this place today, God. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that as we talk about community and the importance of community, God, you are realigning our hearts with your will for us. Lord, you want us in community. You yourself is in community, Lord. You desire the same thing for us because you know it's a place that we can be ourselves, yet it's also the place that we can become who you called us to be. So, God, I'm asking you to open up our hearts again. Open up our hearts again to this innate human desire and need that we have for community. And help us, Lord God, to trust those that you have put around us to be the people that you have placed there. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and in our church and in our communities.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this one. Now go and live a transformed life.